Jones, Blue Monk, I got up this morning, and as I usually do, because it's football season, I look at my football stations, ESPN, and of course they were discussing the John Gruden situation. Whichever show it was, we were well represented as black people. I was pleased when I saw black female commentator, black male commentators from various venues talking about the quarterbacks, who is the five greatest, and right now, today, and what's going on in the league, and who's going to play in the Super Bowl. And then my whole demeanor, my whole disposition changed when they began to speak about John Gruden. And with that, I'm going to pause. And I'm glad that I don't know the black commentator's name. I'm glad, because I don't want to misrepresent him. I just want to give you my feelings after watching, as I sip my coffee. Mm. 14th day of October, 2021, from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California. Right now, about 9:04 in the morning. What a gorgeous day. I don't mean nice day, gorgeous day in Los Angeles, state of California. They're giving out free flu shots all over the city, COVID shots, food, rent, everything. This is the place to come if you want free stuff. They got so many jobs in this region, and I don't know why our children aren't jumping on board and making this money. It's a wonderful time to be alive. But let me get back to the John Gruden situation. I know, I think it must be discussed. Some of you have heard my last webcast. Some of you may not like my opinion, because I won't hate like you hate. I won't dislike like you dislike. I won't dislike people because they don't think like me. The black female commentator said about this situation, she said, when is the day coming when not only the NFL, but all everywhere, that people will not harbor bad feelings about other people racially, sex, everything, gays, and because, you know, the word is out that John Gruden, you know, and he had a gay player on his team. And I'm watching these grown people on television. I'm exercising in my living room, standing up in the middle of the living room before my, while my coffee is brewing. I had to just rush in the studio to do this before I lost my mind and I lost track, I lost track of what I wanted to say. When is this going to end? When are we going to be able to? Yeah, right. That's what she's saying. And so I said, typical female, to myself. She wants to live in a fantasy land. It will never be. You will never work in an organization where everybody in that organization is happy to see everybody. I recall when the issue came out concerning the hairdos of African Americans in the workplace, where brothers like myself wanted to wear a natural. When I first started working for the Los Angeles Police Department, I had a natural. And when I worked in Parker Center, the main police building, in the administrative staff unit as a supply coordinator, and my office was, I believe it was on the mezzanine floor, yes. And what a position that was. It was during a time when LAPD was expanding in many ways, and the Parker Center, the main police building, needed to get their supplies specially done. And so what they did is they went to the LAPD warehouseman, and they asked my supervisor, Gil Martinez, who's a good guy that can get along good with everybody, and that is a heavy worker, and that would be good to work in the building. And they, and of course, my name came up, and they asked me, and I said, yes, I'll take it. I could get out of the LAPD warehouse. And they were located on San Fernando and Fletcher Drive. And so I had an opportunity to get out of there and move downtown. That's where the police building was, the main police building, Parker Center, named after Chief Parker, the bigoted, racist police chief. I remember the 1965 riots. I was here during that time. As a matter of fact, I was in the Army on leave, military leave, when the riots took place, before they sent me to Korea during the Vietnam era. So I was very conscious in a world where racism, hatred towards other men existed. And I never heard anyone when I was a young man say, when will they stop hating us? You know, it's like the statement that I made to a friend of mine yesterday about the whites in Chicago. And I said, you got to, you know, I was jokingly speaking with my friend over Facebook Messenger. And I said, you got to be careful of them white folk down there that don't care too much for black people. And the phone conversation was ended abruptly. You should have seen his face when I said that. It was as if I had said something that, oh, you can't talk like that. No, we live in a world where everybody is everything. No, it's not. See, you can think positive all you want. Let me answer the female commentator. It will never get to the place where you go to the workplace and people are going to feel good about you. They're not going to feel good about you. I have been in the workplace where I was in a stall urinating, and the only empty urinal next to me, white man or Asian man would come in, and he wouldn't use the urinal. He would wait for me to leave before he come near it. That person didn't want to be around me. I didn't take an attitude about him. I just used the urinal and minded my business, said, he must not don't like me. I've been in restaurants where the waitress didn't softly put my plate down, but kind of clank, clank. Here, clank, clank. I knew she didn't care for me. I didn't complain to them. Why? because there are so many people. Man, I remember, look, let me tell you people something. You may not want to mention it to yourself. You may not want to get real with it, but I remember a time, and it was a real time, when I would go and look for a job in Los Angeles and go into a white establishment, and the way eyes would roll and people would snicker behind the counter and laugh at me. Oh, they think we're going to give him a job? And this woman said, I wonder when we'll be able to say that we can safely go into the workplace and everybody loves us and accepts us as we are, regardless. Well, that will never take place. Not only will it ever take place in this country, it will never take place in other countries. You can go to Mexico, and if you got a dark-skinned Mexican trying to get a job in a building down there, and they've had nothing but light-skinned Spaniard, Portuguese-looking Mexicans working there, they're not going to hire that darker Indian Mexican to work there. Okay? That will never cease. That will always be a problem in every society. So you're never going to get rid of that. People will not like our breeding habits. That's why the racial and I'm just telling you, as a spiritual man that loves people, loves all kind of people. I love watching National Geographic and programs like that and seeing people live in different cultures and the way they live all over the world and enjoying each other and stuff like that. But I also see Germans that fought Germans during World War I. White people fighting white people, their own cousins, nephews, everything. I remember when they had the wars in the 90s in Europe over there, in Bosnia and all that. These are people the same color, come from the same part of the land and everything, hating each other because one is Muslim and one is a Christian. Same race, same food. Same water they're drinking, same cars they're driving. I guess they see a car in Bosnia and say, well, did a Muslim own this? No, I don't want that car. Why? Because a Christian, the car didn't have anything to do with it. Will people ever change? No, they will never change. There will always be people that do not like gay people. Always. I have lost many of my personal friends. I mean, people that I spent years with. Once they found out, once I broke the sound barrier and came out and said, I've always been gay. I don't know what went through their mind. They don't even want to have a damn thing to do with me. Do you think that's bothering me? Why won't they love me? I'm no pansy. I don't give a damn. I don't need them to love me. I love myself. I trust that gay football player that plays for the Raiders. Get your ass out there and play, boy. Play with them other boys out there. Knock their ass on the other side of the field. Don't give a damn about what they like. If you happy with your boyfriend, be happy with them. They happy with their girlfriends. And quiet is kept, I'm going to tell you, it's a lot of them in secret are happy with their boyfriends. Yes. We walk around, and then the black commentator on the show, he really blew my mind. He said, that makes me feel uncomfortable. I don't know who to trust. Who can I trust? In the office, he says, when I wanted to get into sports commentation, who can? They look at my face and they smile. Can I believe in it? Who gives a damn who you can believe? Do your job, mind your business, and if they don't like you, they're not going to break the law to get rid of you. You make sure you do everything right. You know, I have to break in and tell you this, okay? Mm-hmm. Mark Ridley Thomas, the county supervisor, right? He indicted. Yeah, he indicted. You are to read his story in the LA Times. Thing is all over, crook. A friend of mine told me about it on Facebook, and a friend of mine said, no comment. I commented, and I said, well, he should have remained a preacher of righteousness, but then I said, but who would go to his church now? Because he's a crook. And he did all that to boost his son up. You know, you heard about the whites trying to get a free USC documentation for their children. Well, Mark did the same thing. Contractual stuff. He sold contracts to certain people, give them a special handout, and somebody white turned him in. And I'm glad they did. Because when you are a professed man of God, see, I let me break in and say this right now. I know a lot of young men that are doing a lot of things, and I tell them all the time, don't you come by here with a crooked scheme trying to do some bull crap and get me mixed up in it where they throw my old ass in jail. I'm real with it straight across the board. Once a minister of God, always a minister of God. Don't be cheating for no money. A crooked preacher is the worst thing in the world that you can trust. A crooked preacher? Now, wait a minute. Let's get back to John Gruden. I'm not going to make a judgment on him because of the statement that I said about certain white people in Chicago that don't care for blacks. I've been in the city. I was telling my friend that was visiting a friend of his in Chicago. And I said, this is what I said. Be careful of them white people downtown that don't care for y'all. Because if you go into one of their business institutions and order food, you don't know what they're doing. Same thing for you white people that go in black institutions. Let me tell you a story. This is a true story. A friend of mine, I worked with him in the city years ago. We were city employees together. And we would go and have breakfast in the morning. We were traffic officers. Listen, I don't even know his name now. I forgot his name because his name is not important. But the story I'll never forget. I asked him where he was going on his vacation, and he said that he's going to go down south to visit his people. They were from the southern, like Mississippi, Alabama, something like that. I think it was Alabama, but I don't know what city. I was a young man. I was a traffic officer. It was before we got the traffic officer cars. We were on three-wheel motorcycles in Cushman's. Though that was a great job. I loved that job. But we were eating hotcakes on 7th Street in a restaurant. Nice little cozy place. Our motorcycles were parked out front right before we had to run the no stoppers. You know, 7 and 9, we had to show up early. And I used to love just going having breakfast with O.V. Wilson, and other people. Man, I go have breakfast with these guys, and we talk. And I love talking with the Southern brothers that came here to Los Angeles because they were interesting. And I just love hanging out with men anyhow. We were having breakfast, and I said, what do you like about going down south having vacation? He said, to visit my aunt's restaurant. And he laughed. And I said, why are you laughing? He said, because she made some of the best steak and eggs in town. And she was known for her steak and eggs. And the white people used to love going, having steak and eggs. I guess you slice a thin slice of steak and you put it on the grill, you know, put some onions on it and like that. And sometimes he said she'd have potatoes. Anyhow, she said that this racist, he said that she, well, he saw this. This racist white man would come in to the restaurant. And she said, oh, how you doing, Mr. Such and Such? I'm doing all right, Maddie. Let's call her Maddie, all right? And she says, oh, I'm doing fine. And he said, you know what I want? I want my favorite pressed steak that you make for me. Yeah, baby, I'm going to have that coming right up. Now, the traffic officer, he was working behind the counter where she was. And she said, come in here. And she took that steak that she was going to put on the grill and wiped her ass with it. And he told, I said, no. And he said, she wiped it, smeared it, and put it on the grill and put the onions, had everything, had a rose in the glass where the water was and set it in front of him. And she said, every time he come here, he eats me. And I was outraged. I never heard anything like that. This is a black woman doing this. And this black woman asked, when will it? It will never end. On both sides? I know this is harsh stuff for you young millennials, if you ever hear this, to listen to, but people are totally depraved, totally wretched. All the whites, all the blacks, all the browns, all the yellows, all the purples, all the greens, all the blues, all the pinks. Totally wretched individuals. This black man said on this thing this morning, this man said, when will I ever feel like I can walk in a place and nobody's thinking those things? Never, buddy. If I were in the studio with him, I would say, man, where you at? What kind of a world are you living in? Where do you think you are? People ask me a lot of time, hey, let's go out and get something to eat. I said, well, I'd rather not. I have food here. And they said, why not? I said, because I don't know what they're doing in the kitchen, man. Mm-hmm. Whenever I go out and eat with my daughters, we go to an institution like in Santa Monica on Sunset Strip and something like that. I just have a cup of coffee. No, I'm not hungry. Because a lot of those institutions and those places, they'll look in your face, they'll smile in your face, they'll do up. They don't want you there. I remember when people like, and I'm just going to name some names because I heard about this, when Queen Latifah bought her house in Beverly Hills, when all the other black and up rising black stars began to buy their homes and man, them people in Beverly Hills said, oh, are they going to have their lawn? You know, they got certain laws that you have to abide by. If you buy a mansion in Beverly Hills, you got to have enough money to keep your lawn cut, trimmed, and taken care of. Beautiful flowers put in every other day. You can't, no, just let it go wild like here where I live. No, you can't have a car that smokes. You know, you boom, you start it up in white smoke. No, the neighbors would sign a petition and have that car towed off of the street at your expense, and you will find yourself looking for another residence. Why? Because they don't want certain kinds of people with certain kinds of behavior in their neighborhoods. I don't know what kind of a planet you think you live on. I get a kick out of watching football now, you know? Because everybody can wear your hair any kind of way you want. You can dye it any color. You know, I look at a lot of my people, black people, that I wear my hair very close now. I cut off all that white snow. I have a full head of hair except for a bald spot right on the top of my head going near the back. And I have never put peroxide and other chemicals in my hair that would burn my hair out. That's why I have a full hairline all the way up to my forehead. I've never put that mess. I don't have a tattoo on me. People look at me and they say, "Your face, it's so smooth. It doesn't. What do you do?" I said, "I wash my face." No, but what do you use it? Well, sometimes I put a little hemp oil on it. It's very helpful. Keeps my skin tight and fresh. But I've always been, on most part, a very attractive man. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm telling you the truth. I'm a good-looking black man. Now, what is a bad-looking black man? You want to know what a bad-looking black man looks like? All right, I'll say it. Look in the mirror. Because if you do not have a good restitution about who you are, how you look, then you're going to have a bad one. And you're going to put yourself down. And then you're going to be worried about other people putting yourself down because you don't have confidence enough. I recently put a newer picture of me up on my Facebook page. I guess my sister hadn't seen it. And she said, "Look at my brother looking good." She said, "Junie, you looking good." You know what I answered? "I have the genes and chromosomes of my father. What would one expect? My daddy was a keen dresser. He knew how to take care of himself. And you know what my daddy was? He was a garbage man. He picked up garbage. I saw him one day come by on the garbage truck. He came home for lunch. I was on summer vacation. I was a kid living in 353 East 76th Street. And he came by with the smelly old garbage truck, came in, and mommy had cooked him lunch. And he got on the back of that garbage truck. That's when they didn't have garbage disposals, and they were emptying the garbage, putting them in trucks in Los Angeles. That's what my father did for a job. There was no shame in that game. They had white garbage men working in the white neighborhoods. Black ones working in the black ones. Progress. My dad moved all the way up for the city of L.A. to a senior storekeeper, auto parts storekeeper in Los Angeles. Just like I worked myself up to. Not going to get that phone. I don't want to talk with anybody. You see, let me say this to you. Without progress in your life, and when you spend the years, you're not concerned. Let me get back to the back sports commentary. You're not concerned about what people are thinking about you. If they're looking at you and frowning up and turning off, is they see something about you they don't like. Now in this country, we do not have the right. I'm 30 minutes into the webcast. Now about 3, 2, 1, boom. I'm 30 minutes into the webcast and I'm not finished talking about that because this black commentator looked like he was going to start crying. Who can I trust these days? Who can I trust? I mean, how do I know? I'm looking out my window right now, and I see my white neighbor walking her dog, and the dog is taking a poo right on my lawn. And I don't see her with the plastic bag picking up the poo. And, oh, my God, if that, right now, I wish I could take a picture of it, but my phone isn't here with me, right on my lawn. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. She's reaching in the back of her pocket, and she has a bag. She's letting little dog end up. See, I was wrong. She has a little poop bag. But is she gonna? Yep. She picked it up right off my lawn and put it in the poop bag. Whoa, good for her. Now, I walked my dog down this same street, and I didn't have a poop bag. When my dog squats over, and the white lady is putting the poop in a trash can as she listens to her music and walks her little dog, and I don't carry a poop bag with me. I don't allow my dog to poop at all. I walk him in the middle of the street, no pooping on the neighbor's stuff. And if he poops next to an automobile tire, he can do that. He's on the roadway. It's not on anybody's lawn. Now, here's the question that I have for you. If a black person was walking their dog and he took a crap, would he take that bag out of his pocket and pick up the poop? Some would. Some would not. The ones that would not, I would not want to talk with them. I would not want to see them. I would not want to be around them because they have offended my property. See what I mean? And I have a right to have a disposition. Now, if someone called me and a black person didn't pick up the dog poo, and I said, you should have seen what this, you know, the explanative that I would use, did. He let that dog take a crap right on my lawn, and he or she didn't pick it up. That sure is shameful. Now, every time I see that person, I'm going to have that disposition, that thought, and it's my right to have it. You see, the black commentator said, I don't know what people are thinking about me. I just saw that woman appear outside of the Lucy Coleman studio window with her dog. I know she is one of my new gentrified neighbors, because when Lucy was alive, there was no white women walking their poodles on my street. But we see gentrification now. People coming over here buying houses, staying over here 3 or 4 years, and then moving back to the west side when they pulled all the equity out of it. Oh, yeah, I see that all of the time. And I have nothing against these people, but I have a right, listen, I have a right to take an offense against anyone that does something that is detrimental to what I think is plausible in my world. I have a right. The conversations today is, does anyone have a right to disagree or to fundamentally come against any other person because of something that they really do not like about that person? Yes, they have the right to do that. I think that John Gruden has a right to do that, like I had a right to do that in private conversations with anyone that he chooses to have it with. When I guess I'm looking for the when is it inappropriate for a person to mouth or to communicate his disdain for something that gravely affects him. Now, I'm a black man, and I'm not getting myself in trouble because I'm not concerned about whether you like me or not. Maybe you haven't come to the state of maturity that I've come to. I saw a man on the news the other day on Columbus Day with a sledgehammer in some city demolishing the statue of Christopher Columbus. Did that man have a right to do that? Well, that's private property. It's not his statue. No. Did he have a right to hold disdain for the memory of Christopher Columbus? Yes. Did he have a right to speak against Christopher, to tell about what he and his cohorts were involved in terms of dehumanizing the indigenous people of countries? Yes, yes, he had a right to do that, of course. But my question is, did he have a right to take a sledgehammer to destroy that statue on public or private property? No, he didn't. He should have been incarcerated. He should have been locked up, penalized. And let me take it further than that. How about if a white man took a sledgehammer and went to one of the monuments that were built in homage for Martin Luther King? Would there be outrage from black people? Of course, they probably burned down 40 cities. I didn't see no white cities being burned down when that Christopher Columbus statue, and I'm not pulling for any, I'm just telling you how hypocritical we are when it comes to reasonableness. We're hypocritical. And I couldn't believe the comment. You know, I just don't know who to trust. That's what the black commentator said. I don't know who, when they look at me. What? Man, what? When I'm in my car driving and the window is down and I'm driving through the white neighborhood, I'm not looking around wondering who is not liking me. If someone is not liking me, a bullet will come through the windshield and pierce my skull and kill me instantly, and I'll be gone. Then I'll know that somebody doesn't like me. See? But to be a grown man crying like a baby, this is what those black and the white commentators, I mean, all they did was just say, well, it's time for us to move on. Thank you about that subject matter. Now let's see which of the five quarterbacks are the greatest quarterbacks this year and who can possibly lead. See, the white boy was trying to get off the subject matter altogether because the black was having a we shall overcome party. I'm going to tell you, maybe it's because I'm in my 70s, my late 70s, and maybe a lot of you that listen to this would say, well, nigga, you need to die and get out the way, John Coleman, so we can have our freedom, because you've been talking like that ever since you've been on the radio, even before. Yes, I give you commentation that should be commented upon, and I don't have to go, man, I'd love for one of these brothers to invite me to one of the morning talk shows that they have. You know, those shows that they have on the internet where they got bottles of whiskey all out there and the brothers all out there and they just laughing, sisters and all of them smoking dope. Invite me on the show. I I said, right. See, I have the spirit. Here he goes. He preaching. No. I have the spirit of discernment. I can discern who and what you are before you open up your mouth. And I will help you in your insanity if I feel like it. But if I don't feel like helping you in your insanity, I won't. See, this is what makes for a sound mind. I'm reasonable. If I get Alzheimer's disease, I couldn't even set at the mic right. But I thank my God in heaven that he has kept my brain intact and informed. Let me say this as I end up this webcast. Never, ever, it will take place in this country what that black commentator was asking for. When will I ever know that all the white people that look at me accept me? And you will never know that. Just like if you were a white man, when will I know that all my black team members on the club will accept me? You will never know unless they tell you. And let me add this. Though I don't practice the religion or the faith that I held under to the degree that I did when I was a younger man, because I found out that a lot of that faith that I followed was shenanigans. See, I can say it. It was shenanigans. And you can tell that by the way most of the evangelicals respond today. But you can't say that to the common people in the evangelical church because they don't have brains enough to receive it. They've become robots. Well, Americans have become robots. We have a tendency to look at the media and to allow the media to drive our fantasies. I'd love to be in Orange County this afternoon having lunch out at their oil-stricken beaches and to look over the gooey beaches and have lunch with my white friends. And so what y'all think of the John Gruden thing? Probably the white boy look across the table at me and say, what you think? I said, man, it is what it is. And they probably look at me and smile and say, hey, man, can I bring you another beer? I said, no, this is enough. It is what it is, huh? Yes, it is what it is. What it is at this moment, it is. I am not going to change it. It will never change because it is what it is. It's as simple as that. Well, how do you feel about it? It doesn't matter. Why not? Because it is what it is. I don't like that. That's your problem. That's not going to change it from being what it is. See, that's what I would have told the black commentators that were having this discussion about John Gruden. And as they said adequately, this discussion will be had for quite a while longer because people got chips on their shoulders. I recall I was sitting in a meeting and it was a transgendered person sitting next to me. And he said to me, he had on a skirt. That didn't bother me. But he said to me, I make you feel uncomfortable. I said, to a degree, yes. I said, you could have wore pants like everybody else, but you chose to wear a skirt like a woman. It is what it is. And he says, do you have any bad feelings against me? No, I wouldn't wear that. But in this place, you're safe. You can do that. And you know what I told him? Be careful where you find yourself. Because when you are out in other people's public, they may find that repulsive, especially when there are children around them, because they don't want their children to be around people that are saying out loud, it is what it is. And he said, well, thank you for being candid. I said, what? I'm not afraid of you. I said, and I speak my opinion. Be careful. Esther Gruden, he is one of millions of people that feel that way. And I mean millions. As a matter of fact, I am apt to say that more people in this country feel the way that John Gruden does than the way that John Coleman does. John Coleman knows that the feelings and the dispositions of John Gruden will cause something. But the pendulum travels in two directions. It goes this way, and then it goes that way. And as that pendulum sways, it drops down about a quarter of an inch at each swipe. And if your neck is in the way of the pendulum, it will get cut. That's what happened to John Gruden. Now, if you think that a human being is not going to figure out a way to stop that pendulum from cutting their goozle, they'll look at you and smile. Good morning, John Coleman. Good morning, how are you? Oh, it's good to see you. That's a nice colored shirt. Thank you. My wife purchased it for me. Oh, it's so nice. And then as I turn to go and do my job, they're saying, he really thinks I like that shirt. You see, I heard what they said. But do you think I responded back? No. Why didn't I respond back? Hell, man. It is what it is.